Welcome to the Marketing for Business podcast. This is your host, Scott Wilson.
Anna Hayes, welcome to the Marketing for Business podcast.
Thank you.
I'm excited to have you here.
That's amazing to be here.
Look, we met through a course that we ran. I think it was during COVID, wasn't it?
It sure was. It was through the first lockdown.
Yeah. I think my team still don't forgive me for that. Like, while everyone was making sourdough, my team was running a course. So that was on messenger marketing, and that was kind of the first, I guess, time you'd actually use messenger marketing. Now you own a digital agency.
Yes.
You owned a digital agency before that anyway, but you know, I'd love to get into the conversation because we're going to really give some business owners some really good tips on how they can grow their business using digital marketing. I'm excited for that chat because you've done some really cool work in that space. So excited to have you here. Let's go back a wee bit first though. How did you start out? Like what's your background?
So I guess for me, it started right when I was about 17 and my first job out of home.
Yep.
I worked for a company called McDowell's Transport in Invercargill.
Nice. Were you from Invercargill?
Yeah, cool. Basically, yeah. So back then, sort of internet was just kind of an emerging technology.
Yep.
And they had this thing called an intranet.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so I did a lot of work on that.
Nice.
And that was really exciting and interesting. So I started studying and sort of I still worked and got a bit better at it and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
And then ended up working for pretty much the only website design company in Invercargill.
Cool.
I think there was one other guy working from home in Gore.
Yep.
So that was really cool. Really loved it.
Back in the day, what were they using to build websites? Like, what was the go-to?
You coded it. You free-coded the HTML.
There was some really grunty like website programs too, wasn't there? That you had to actually code the. You know, I remember those days too. Like it was full on.
We free coded everything. We built the HTML.
People don't know how lucky they've got it now.
Yeah, it's amazing. The growth has been amazing.
Yeah. Crazy how the technology's really helped. So you're starting to, and like, did you love doing that stuff? Were you really interested in being the coder and stuff? Was there many girls in the industry back then? Like,
no, it's generally been a male-dominated industry most of my career.
Yeah. And like, did you really start to love it? Like, did seeing, because websites were so new then too, right?
Yes. No, I loved it. I learned all about CSS and was trying to bring that in because at that point in time, websites were built as very rigid tables.
Yep.
So that was quite cool. And I remember my boss kind of like not really loving the idea. And then years later, telling me about how that was actually the way.
Yeah.
So that was where responsive design started because we started moving off your standard 800 pixel wide websites onto, you know, mobile devices and all of that kind of thing. So
were you starting to see things that maybe other people weren't? Is that why you were kind of, hey, we should be doing it this way? Like what gave you that kind of edge and feeling there though?
I guess from doing the course.
Yep.
Yeah. Learning all about it and loving the fact that you could code the CSS and then it would make all this amazing things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That must have been pretty cool to kind of, I guess that's why, you know, I love my team, like learning stuff and then starting to do stuff. It's a real. Okay. So working there and like you're starting to progress, how long did it take to build a website back in those days?
I actually aren't entirely sure. I do remember that we would literally cut up the templates that the different design companies would make in Adobe and then literally stick them into the parts to create this tabled website. But yeah, I mean, it obviously took a bit longer because you did have to free code everything. But at the same time, it didn't take as long because they were really basic functionality.
Yeah.
Like they literally had a few pages of text and maybe a form and it was about all they did.
Do you think some of them are still alive today?
Yeah, I do still see some of those 800 pixel wide websites that are not responsive floating around.
When we do a lot of auditing and a lot of high performance reviews and you see some websites, you go, oh, okay, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
What have you seen so far? Like, you know, now owning your own business, you know, the web whole game's totally changed, right? Like you now have open source software that you can use like WordPress and Workflow and all these different platforms now, right?
It's amazing.
The consumer is really, I guess, spoiled for choice when it comes to what they can use to build their digital platforms on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And WordPress is a really awesome. Like I use WordPress all the time and absolutely love it. It's great because you can also build in all the technical side and because it's open source, you can develop your own programs and apps and everything, and yeah. you've got the whole thing. So then companies can actually pick up and move, like hosting providers and everything. So it really does put the ball game back into yeah. the client's court.
Yeah, so good. Because like before, and like one of my bugbears was with websites is people were using technology that was kind of gated, right? So if you wanted to make a change, then they would charge like thousands of dollars to do yeah. those changes. And it's like, because they had and some of them still do this, they have the software that only they can access. And absolutely. It's like, the world's changed from that, but people are still doing it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Some people still believe they own the website too, even though the client's paid for it. I still don't really get that and how they... But anyway, we won't go down that rabbit hole. Hey, so you're 17 in the Cargill, starting to grow, learn more, doing courses. When does like you start learning about all the other side of the digital sort of marketing? Or were you just purely staying in the lane of websites?
No, I had a pretty interesting career, to be fair. I ended up leaving and going over to Australia for a little bit and then came back. And then I moved up to Christchurch and got a job with New Zealand Tourism Guide, which was an online tourism directory back in the days when directories were the thing. Back when, you know, if you had the letter A in your business name, you could rank at the top.
Okay, so.
Yeah. And I worked in the web team there for 3-odd years before I ended up contracting to them for a lot longer. But,
oh, wow.
But yeah, that was really cool. And
what were you doing there?
So a variety of sort of jobs, started out just in the web team working on the website and the listings and all of that kind of thing, and then kind of progressed to being the web team leader and working with the team around me and a bit of PHP development and that kind of thing as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
And is that still in existence today, like the tourism kind of note?
Not really. It never grew with how things progressed and developed.
Yep.
It just stagnated. So now it just kind of sits there.
Yeah. But back in the day, obviously, it would have been quite a big thing as far as, you know, tourism businesses wanting to be on that directory and that guide.
Yeah, it was massive.
Yeah.
It was brought out by Yellow from...
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty massive in its day.
Yeah. I remember when I had an SEO business, search engine optimization, we were doing stuff with that company. And then one of the companies that actually bought us, they had done stuff with Yellow as well. They were heavily involved in that kind of...
Yes, they were. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting times how it's all evolved, right? So what were you learning back then, though? Like, what were you thinking, okay, like, this is, were you learning on the job? Were you using your skills to do other stuff? You're obviously going up the ranks in the business.
Yeah, learned a lot of pretty cool stuff. I loved doing the PHP development, but honestly, sometimes you just got to find a lane and stick in it.
Yeah.
Rather than
so PHP development, what is that really?
Like PHP coding to so the New Zealand Tourism Guide backend was its own unique software. It wasn't built in anything in particular, so it always needed changes and enhancements and all that kind of thing. So,
and you would update that in the backend. So a number needs to be updated or some pictures needs to be updated. You'd code that all in the back.
Yeah, so that's more of a design level kind of stuff. So I would absolutely do all of that as well. But that's more like a website designer's job rather than the developer. The PHP developer is the one that actually codes if you want the website to do something different.
Ah, right, cool.
Yeah.
Because, I know a lot of people are not that technical here. So let's give an example, say, on a website. How would that play out? How would you know that you've got that on your website?
So I guess from the New Zealand Tourism Guide perspective, it was a listing directory. So for example, if we went, well, we want the listings to, you know, show in a different way or have different functionality or...
So if someone paid more money, would they get a different look and feel and a functionality?
I don't think we so much had per client options to really change the software, because obviously there's quite a lot of cost that goes into changing software. But yeah, absolutely, if we came up with an idea and we actually managed to get it across the line, which was always hard, being able to then create that functionality, I was one of the people to
brilliant
on that.
Okay, so your skills obviously really in that whole development side, right?
Yes, very cool.
Yeah, that is very cool.
And learned a lot about SEO as well. I remember it was the first time I'd really kind of gotten into that space, and at that point in time whoever had been doing it before me, it was just keyword spamming and like words that weren't even relevant to.
Yeah.
And we would have like sections on the website that just had lots of keywords, like at the top of the website.
That was
the
thing back in the day.
It was a thing, yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
2000s. Sure was. Oh, that was the rage. You can't do that now. Nowadays. Mind you, we've done some high performance audits recently, and we've seen that happening in Google Business Listings and stuff like that. There's some, still some stuff. People are getting jobs done from overseas, and people do some dodgy stuff.
Which is
not great. Okay, so you're growing online tourism. When do you start to think, okay, I'm just going to do my own thing, or are you working for someone else?
So from there, I actually moved to Australia again.
Obviously like Australia.
I worked doing tree work for about a year.
Oh, wow.
Like a labourer for arborists and stuff. So it was a very big change. Came back here and did it for a while as well. I love being outside in the environment, but honestly, it's a lot of hard work. Laboring for a reason,
especially in the hot.
Yeah, absolutely. So then started working, for myself, and then I was also working back still to New Zealand Tourism Guy for quite a few years.
So you contracted back to them.
Yeah,
cool.
And started sort of working just smaller hours. You know, had young kids and.
Yep.
That kind of thing. So it was just a small side business for quite a long time.
Yeah. So, but it allowed you to be a mom and then grow the business, right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so contracting back to them, were you basically doing what you were doing before, but just...
Lots of like SEO work for them at that point, yeah.
Yep. So SEO for people, we'll explain what SEO is because, we've got business owners here that are used to the whacking and cracking of their daily lives. But, digital can be a wee bit technical. So what's SEO?
Yeah, so SEO is what helps your website rank for the things that are relevant for your business in search engines. So primarily we talk about Google. But you can actually be surprised about, like Bing is actually getting up there, and there's still people in Yahoo and other search engines too. But primarily I think Google's got about 80-odd% of the search traffic still. But yeah, so it's just there's a lot of technical stuff in the back end as well, but there's also the front end stuff that people can actually see around, the titles and the words that you use and everything. But and then in the back end of it, there's also things around like, image names and title text and alt text and, schema and all of that kind of stuff as well. So definitely really, really important, especially when you're building a website, because when you build it, that's the time when you get that strategy worked out, mapped out and created and get it done right then. I think it's one of those things that people miss quite a lot and get a website built.
So were you learning that on the job, or were you doing some training, or how was that all playing out?
Yeah, I pretty much always studied and worked something. So always doing courses, sometimes just ones online, sometimes attending events, sometimes finding people like you and taking courses like that.
Yeah.
So always learning.
If you were looking at SEO then, so what are some of the tips you could give to a business owner that's thinking, my website doesn't rank as well, or doesn't come up in Google, and how do they check if it comes up in Google? How could we, how do people get a clearer picture for their business on that?
Yeah, Google's got some really cool free tools that they can use, like Google Analytics, which should be plugged into your website, Google Search Console, that kind of thing. They're absolutely amazing, and there's so much data in there to see, where people are coming from, how long they're spending on your site, what searches they're doing. We use some pretty cool software like SEMrush, which tells us a lot about what's happening on your website and what your competitors are doing.
Yeah.
But there are like Ahrefs, Moz tools. There's heaps of really cool tools out there that you can use, and some of them have some free options as well.
Yeah.
And you can plug your website in and get a bit of a report around how it's working. You can always do a good old incognito search as well, see if you're coming up at all.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to do it too, because incognito, no browser history.
Yeah.
Because a lot of businesses, they rank really well, and then we run a report and it's like they don't rank at all, but it's they're looking at their own history.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What's coming up.
Yes, because if you're logged into your account as well, it really makes a difference to where you're ranked to. But absolutely, your browsing history.
It's interesting with Google Analytics and these tools. I find that they're great tools, but a lot of business owners don't understand them.
Yeah,
and it's not their fault. It's us as agencies, as providers of that information back to them. How do you handle that? Like, how do you get across so people really understand?
Yeah.
What's going on and what you're doing.
Yeah. So we send out reports. We have automated reports that go out to our clients for Google Analytics and Google Ads and that kind of thing, which we try and break down to be quite simple. But I'm not going to lie, it's simple to us because we understand, but it can still be quite confusing. So really, honestly, they just need to chat with their marketing team, you know, have a monthly chat around what's happening, what this means.
Yeah.
You know, we can then show them the numbers and this is what this means and, you know, this is what that means, and that helps them then go, oh, okay, and then the next month you can explain something else. So just absolutely have your monthly sessions and chat through how things are going and the goals that you're trying to get to.
Yeah, I think that's important. They understand the goals. What is, where can you win? What are the goals that you're trying to achieve? And if you're clear on that and your team that you're working with is clear on that, you're really going to actually help you hit those goals, right? Yeah. And I think also like taking the time to explain stuff. I know from our point of view, and we've had clients for 9 years, and we always joke, you know, at the start, those first year, for one of our clients was like he'd come to the meeting and they'd kind of go, well, what are these guys going to teach us? You know, like, and but over a period of time, you could start to see how more invested they were and how much they really learned it and started to ask better questions and things like that. And I think that's the really cool thing. It is quite a foreign subject, but over time people can learn it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And taking the time to learn it.
Yeah.
I think also with search engine optimization, it's really the amount of business you can get from it. Like we get leads every week because of our efforts there. And I think everyone's doing social media or phoning and all that sort of stuff. I'd really believe, you know, the spending the time in helping a website rank, because people spend a lot of money on websites, right?
Absolutely.
And then it's kind of like build it and they will come, but it doesn't happen unless you actually put the behind the scenes work in to actually get it there.
Yeah, I love Google. I'm a complete Google girl.
Yeah.
So
that's why I was surprised you brought up Bing.
Well, it's the same.
Or Yahoo.
It's the same idea, though.
Yeah,
people understand. Go looking for something, a product, a service, something. They're looking for it. They're already halfway there. So all our job as a marketer or as a business owner is to get your product or service in front of them and then be able to convert them from there. So, you know, other things like social media is amazing. It should absolutely be part of your marketing strategy, but they're not actually physically looking for you.
No.
You're hoping that you can spark interest and build relevance and brand awareness and all that kind of thing. But in Google or search engines, they are looking for your service. Yeah. So why wouldn't you want to be there?
Yeah. The intent is totally different, right?
Yes.
And that's the big thing, like the intent. People are actually actively searching.
Yes.
They want an answer. They want someone to be able to do business with.
Yes.
So important that, and I think now also, and I'd be interesting to hear your thoughts on this, now that we are become more of a mobile generation, you know, that's become even more important, right?
Yes. Yeah. And lots of searching online. Probably more, my thoughts would be more information gathering happening on your phone. I'm a big one for sitting on my phone at night learning about stuff, looking things up.
Yeah.
And I'll often be more of an action taker on my computer.
Yep.
But then, you know, younger generation is a bit different as well. And lots of younger people actually go onto social media looking for things now.
Yeah.
So it is important to go with what's changing, but still, you know, the billions of searches on Google and search engines is still there.
Yeah. And I think also you have to look at, okay, well, who are my ideal clients and where are they hanging out? And if you deal with different clients, different sectors of clients or customers, if you're dealing with a, you know, maybe say 35 to 40 and over, and how are they interacting versus the younger people that, as you say, will be searching the likes of TikTok or Instagram and stuff like that. I think also it's really interesting, and I think I always say to clients, watch how people are searching.
Yeah.
You know, like, because my son will search for stuff, he'll just talk to her.
Oh, yes. Phone,
you know, and he doesn't type, you know, so how does that even play out now, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you've always got to be constantly looking and innovating. The thing is, it has gone digital, right?
Yes.
And to me, I think, you know, some businesses are still kind of stuck in that. I was talking to a big client yesterday, you know, big client, we help they're a retailer, we help the wholesaler, and now the retailer's waking up because of the work we've done with the wholesaler. They want to get involved, and they're a big player in the market, but they don't use digital.
Wow.
and it's like, wow, now they're going, we'd love to use digital. And they put their toe in and they're using a big media company and it's not going as well because the big media company is good at doing big media stuff, not the digital stuff. And it's really interesting to see, you know, you think, like I can just, more and more businesses are coming into that digital space now.
Yeah.
So that's going to lead to being more competitive, right? Are you starting to see that as well? Like more businesses are starting to invest in the digital space?
Yeah, definitely. I think people are starting to, like you say, wake up to the fact that they actually do need to be online.
Mm.
And also, I guess it's quite important not to be afraid of that. Like you didn't get into business thinking you were going to be the only one in your market. So you are always out there competing, but it's about positioning yourself for the right audience. It's amazing how many people we'll talk to and they've never had anyone challenge them around who their audience are and know everybody is not your niche audience. Like you. Uh-huh. So helping them to understand that and then work out what their value proposition is that's different to other companies who can position differently.
So what are some questions that you go to help businesses with that? You know, maybe the audience here could learn something around that and actually may take time to get that right. So how do you help a business there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thinking about what the product is that you offer and who it is best going to help, I think is a really good place to start. It's quite easy to think, oh, well, I would love everyone to come and work with me. But if you try and just throw your seeds out to everybody, it's sort of not going to have a great growing ground. Mm. So if you think about, you know, how old they might be, where they might be living, what interests they have, what pains they have, you know, how your product will help them. If you really honed in on a specific audience with a real key message, how that might look. And it's also about thinking about what's good business for you, because sometimes, you know, there's a demographic of people that are easier to deal with or funner to deal with or,
totally.
You know, it's just a streamlined, amazing process where you kind of go through it and it just works out really well. So being able to quantify that in both the numbers format and also obviously just like mapping it out is really helpful, I think.
Yeah, I love asking business owners, what is good business for you?
Yeah.
And they look at you like, what do you mean? You know, like, well, who do you like dealing with? Who when they come in the door, that's a great client to have, and you actually make some money and you enjoy the process. Because, you know, sometimes you end up doing business with people that are not like that, right? And it can be a real chore. Like, what is good business? You know, what's profitable business? So getting that down is key. And I guess, you know, at the same time is really understanding the who, you know, the who they are, you know, who they are, where they are, and how you help them, you know, and why they should do business with you. You know, I think it's a really, really thing. People need to ask those questions because it's getting so competitive, right? Yeah. You know, I was just doing an audit online with a high performance review with a potential client, and their market is super, super competitive, you know, and it's expensive to advertise in that market, you know, home reno, landscaping, painting, decorating. There's so many of them, right? Like if you don't actually hone in on that person that you want to talk to and have that right message and solve those problems, you'll spend money and you'll wonder why you're missing the mark, right? Yeah. It's one of those things that not many people will do. Most people go to the tactic, right?
Yeah.
Without doing the strategy thinking first. Yes. How do you combat that when you're talking to business owners?
Just lots of conversation and trying to help educate them around, you know, you start asking these questions and you see the look on their face and they're like, I don't know. they've never been asked, they've never thought about it before.
Yeah.
And then also thinking about when you do get to those tactics, it's not just don't just do one thing. Think about how that whole journey looks. For example, you know, if you're going to do, if you're going to do paid ads, think about how that journey might look for the customer. Maybe they're looking online on Google first, but they may not take an action straight away. So then maybe then remarketing back to them on Facebook so that you can get in front of them again in another way.
Okay, let's just go through that because that's a really good and important thing. So looking at, and we'll talk about remarketing and we'll explain that because I think that's a really important thing. So actually thinking about, okay, you've got customer here at point A and you want them to go into point B, which has become your customer, but there's a whole bunch of different things in between. And like you're saying, sort of mapping that out and being really clear of how they end up becoming it B. So let's just say they see an ad and they go to your website. but the phone rings and they go somewhere else. What's remarketing and how does that all work?
Yeah, so long as you've got all your tracking and everything set up right at the first, which you must absolutely do.
So that's the key,
start before with. You start marketing.
Yeah. Set up your tracking, use Google Analytics, your Google Search Console, set everything up in the background. Yeah,
absolutely. And then when they go to somewhere like Facebook or Instagram, then the tags in the background that nobody knows or can see, will go, okay, well, this is the person that's seen your ad. So you can show them the ad again in a different format. It's quite visual. You can give them different messaging. You could show them videos. You could show them products. You can show them all sorts of things. And then, you can then use that then to try and get them to follow your page, or maybe you might want them to sign up to a mailing list, and then that journey might become, now on the mailing list, how do you look after them? And then also, I think it's really important, Scott, that you don't forget after B. Like, B isn't the end.
Totally.
Yeah, how do you look after that customer?
Yeah, look at during the before, during, and after experience, right? Break that down. I think it's really interesting though, because most, you got to think about the journey, right? So one thing I always say to clients is, how do you buy stuff? Think about that. So you're going to be buying something, right? How do you get influenced to buy something, right? Like, how do you want to buy something? How could you create that experience for you, and what have you seen that's good that you could be then using in your marketing? And I think sometimes, I always say to people, especially if we're doing a review, give me your credit card. And they're like, what for? And I said, we're going to buy something. Have you bought something from your own website? Most people have never bought something. So,
We did that with a client recently. We didn't actually buy anything, but we went through the process and I explained so many things along the way. And it was just, was so interesting seeing how they've never actually used their own website before.
Yeah. Yeah. But expect someone else to come along and use it, right?
Yeah.
I think it's really important that you get clear on why people should buy too.
Yes.
And that comes from, that then helps that journey, right? Because we all know people are busy, and we all know people, they don't want to be, sold. They want to buy to some degree. So how do we make it nice for them and give them reasons why they should come back and buy?
Yeah.
Because I think, some people, as I say, there's quality people and quantity people. Some person needs to see one thing. Some people need to see 8, 9, 10 things, and your job is to do all of that, right? And not judge people. I really like the journey. I really like thinking about the journey. That's a great a framework that people could really go through. What else do people need to know in that whole space? Remarketing allows you to stay top of mind again.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really important. People come into marketing and they go, okay, well, how long do I need to invest in this? 3 months, 6 months? I think marketing takes a long time, because it's not just, people aren't already always ready to buy today. And if they don't know your product or service, then there's no trust, there's no rapport.
No.
It takes time, takes machine learning, it takes human learning, takes testing and measuring. And then thinking about the fact that it's not always, that B goal, sometimes there's some other goals along the way that can be great wins too.
Yeah.
Sure, you want them to buy your products, but maybe if you can get them to follow you on socials or sign up to your mailing list or that kind of thing, then that can be a secondary goal that then you can nurture the journey to then become, customers at point B. So understanding that it takes time, I think, is really key.
Yeah.
And being committed, as committed as, we are as marketers, it is to try and make it work, and then also making sure that you provide back information on how it's going. Sometimes, we can run campaigns and we think are going smashingly well because there's just so many great leads coming through, or look like great leads.
Yeah.
If they're not converting at the other end, then that's things that they need to relay back. So then you can work out, how do you adjust the campaign to find those more quality leads, or what is it that's falling over at the other end that's not converting them? Is there a part of the sales process or something that's missing?
I was invited to go call this morning with a big media company, and there was a reporting of a campaign that they'd done, and the leads weren't that good.
Yeah.
And they kind of want to get an understanding of why the company that's been doing the lead generation, why that wasn't that good. So it was kind of interesting to hear. It was interesting to hear the language. It felt a bit awkward because I'm kind of auditing them, but but at the same time, it was a good conversation that they were having, and it was a good conversation they were having with their provider, because at the end of the day, sometimes you just have to learn about the market, right? And you have to get better. And the only way to get better is to actually pull things apart and go, okay, well, you know, they were actually not very good leads, you know?
And can be where the audience isn't being worked out right. You know, you're actually not marketing to the right people, or maybe the message isn't right. You're not marketing with a message that aligns with the audience you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
I mean, a really, really simple kind of way of showing it might be, you know, if you are a real estate agent, for example, and you love dogs, then showing pictures of you with dogs can help people that have dogs who want to sell their property kind of go, oh, that's cool, you know, I align with that. So it's a really, really, really simple way of kind of visualizing how you can tailor your marketing message to the audience you're trying to get to help them connect, because there's so much information out there, so many businesses, they're all competing for the same spaces.
How do you stand out? I say it's about building, you know, like, and trust, right? So to build known, you got to show your character. To build chemistry, what you were talking about there is to get, you know, people to like you. How do you, you know, people who like dogs, right? So that's chemistry, you know. And then in demonstrating credibility is that trust, you know. And I think a lot of people, you know, don't do that, or don't do enough of it, right? So they don't actually, you know, invest enough time in the market to actually get known, right? And always say consistency, message plus frequency, reach to create relevancy, because the relevancy part is the most important. But sometimes you have to spend time to get that, you know? And I get it because, well, but also you need to understand the numbers, right? You just need to understand, okay, what am I prepared to pay to get a lead, and what am I prepared to pay to turn that lead into a client, you know, to a customer, and how much do I make from that customer? Because if I understand those numbers, one, I can say, yep, I'm going to use this marketing tactic or that marketing tactic, or I'm going to use all three because I know the volume of leads I get and how much money I'll make at the back. So it becomes a game of maths and science to some degree.
Yeah.
Which,
and understanding, I think that initial period, the numbers might be a bit skewed in the higher end until you can kind of really hone in on that right audience and right message, and then, you know.
Yeah. Well, one of the big things we get really good at is if we see, and I learned this from going to the States, and I heard a guy talk about it, Ryan Dice, and he said, look, they used to have a lot of friction between the sales and the marketing team. So he ended up creating a growth team in his business. And I really, really believe that is a key to actually getting everyone to work together. And we were doing with a new client, and their marketing team that they were using wasn't talking to their sales team. Now my team's talking to their sales team, and like the conversations we're getting back around what ads actually work, because the person doing the selling talks to them about what ads they saw, and it's all tracked back through a software system. So you can actually see, yep, that person came from that ad. And when you're talking to them, you know why they came into that ad. And this lady knows that if they came in from that ad, it's a complete waste of time. And no one was talking to the market, no one was talking to her.
Yeah.
And we were like, why would you not talk to her? Because she's the one with the information. She's the one with the real data. So I think, you know, making sure you have a growth team and you're working together is really, really important too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm always encouraging all our customers to make sure that they give us feedback on how they think it's going, whether it's going great or whether it's going bad. Like, tell us.
You got to tell them. You definitely got to have that conversation, and you got to be willing, because it's the only way you get better.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, I think, the frustration. And I think with the industry is a lot of people hide behind these reports, right? And there's no conversations happening between, hey, what's good business, and this worked really well, or this didn't work really well. And I think that's some of the things as you grow as a business owner. Yeah, the interesting thing is you are the business owner, right? So you relate to the business owner. I'm the business owner. I relate to the business owner. They want to have conversations about business, right? And the better, the more conversations you can have like that, the better, right?
And sometimes they don't, and that's really frustrating, because you know, if you can have those conversations, you can do such a better job for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So please have those conversations.
Yeah, yeah. Too right. So you know, now owning your own business, and you starting to get employees, how's it all going? Like, how's it for you? How's them? Like, your mindset obviously has changed over the years. Like, how have you kind of grasped the whole, you know, growing a business, you know?
Yeah, it has been really exciting. Definitely think from a personal level, having kids kind of definitely put the handbrake on.
Yep. How many kids have you got?
I've got three.
Three. You got three girls, eh?
Yes.
Nice.
But they're all at school now, so yeah. It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest pivotal things was definitely meeting you.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. Lots of great support and making me think outside of the things that you kind of hold yourself back with.
Yeah. What mindset, right?
Yeah.
You've been working on that, right? Because I really believe, you know, the more you can engage your mind and what you really want to achieve, and to some degree, you have to be, you know, everyone has conversations going on inside their head, you know, and you can. I learned a long time ago, you can either have negative or positive.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do have negative thoughts, but you've got to quickly get out and focus on what you can do.
Yeah.
And I think that's some of the things that we've kind of worked on, right? You know, like that you can do this, you know, and also one thing I think what you've realized, Anna, is you actually have value in the market. And for probably a period of time, you didn't really value that. You know, but you're actually getting really good results for clients. So you should actually have a value in the marketplace. You're not competing with, you know, the lower end, I say, but when, you know, overseas, outsourcing and all that sort of stuff, you know, there's cheap, and cheap should deal with cheap people, honestly, because that you'll never change the mind of the cheap people, right? They just want cheap, you know, and there's definitely a different market and business owner that wants to grow and wants to work with and partner with people that know what they're doing. But to be fair, you've got to be paid for that worth. You know, people in a day are paying for your past, right? Like you've gone a long way from 17 to coding PHP to now, you know, you can run and look at campaigns and actually move the needle for business owners. So, you know, you should be paid for that, right? So that's pretty, that's a pretty cool thing to see and develop, you know?
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Definitely. Value is something I talk to my customers a lot about now as well. So it was a great.
And how do you have that conversation with them? Like, what's your...
So it's around thinking as you helped me, like it's not a race to the bottom. Like you don't want to be competing to be the cheapest.
No.
It's not always the great customer that lives down there.
No.
And then you can't invest in the business and invest in growth and invest in the products and services that you offer because you're always just kind of just ticking over the needle. So in order to be able to give the best to customers, you actually have to be able to charge the value that you're giving. So I do have those conversations quite a bit with customers as well, helping them to kind of understand what value they're giving so that they can price for that.
Even their pricing, right?
Yes.
Like their what they're doing in the marketplace. Because, you know, end of the day, if you're giving good service and you're providing something a little bit extra, you reserve the right to charge more, right?
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of businesses that aren't, you know, that haven't thought about it and aren't thinking about it. And I think that's the cool thing when you start to have, I always say, you know, when, especially with marketing and understanding value, it's definitely about the mindset of a business owner and how are they growth focused? You kind of get into a false economy sometimes thinking everyone, because you have a growth focused mindset that everyone does, but not everyone does.
Yes.
Which can, yeah. So that value piece is a big one. So what are some of the things that things that have gone wrong, you know, since you've been, you know, you started owning your own business? Like what are some of the things that you look back and go, oh man, you learned a lot from them. Some of the things that mistakes that you made.
I think one of the biggest things I had to learn was around valuing the customer and really wanting to do the best for them. I guess sometimes you get into business because you're really good at something. So I was pretty good at websites and building them and doing SEO and all of that kind of thing. And I guess the mindset adjustment from being in it to do websites to being in it to make magical things happen for customers was the mind shift. And I think once I kind of got that was when I really found the love for having my own business and growing it. Because then you get excited because you're celebrating your clients' wins.
Yeah,
you're not celebrating the fact that you know, got some money in or you made a website. You're excited because now you've done something that now they can, you know, grow their own business and starts bringing in leads and doing all these exciting things. So
absolute game changer.
Yeah.
When you can take that focus and that mindset, it's an absolute game changer. That, you know, like for us, we're completely the same. We are focused solely on celebrating the wins of the client. We will celebrate internally our wins, but it's the wins that no one else sees that we want to make sure people, our clients are winning And that is a complete different way of thinking. So that it's cool that you've realized that, right? Because it's a big thing, right? And it shows that you really care. And I think that's one of the cool things about business is when you deal with businesses that care and you care, I say to some clients, my team cares more than your team. You know, we work with a lot of internal marketing teams, and I know some of them like don't care, you know, because I've been in the room with some of those conversations, and you can just tell they do not care. And my team probably cares more. I can get the sense that your team does too, right?
Yeah.
You know, you want your customers to win.
Absolutely. Yes.
What about some of the shockers of maybe like websites and stuff like that? Like, have you had any real shockers? Like I was listening to a guy the other day, and they had like 100 and something websites, and they all got hacked at one point of time. And he was in an area where there was no real service, and yeah, we were really freaked out. Have you had any of that sort of stuff go on? Like,
not
really.
No,
you're lucky. We got hacked last year. It was so frustrating. But we dealt with it, but really at the same time, you know, some of these platforms, you know, they're not geared up as much as they say they are. So you actually have to take your own precautions. And we thought we had with all the two-step and all that sort of stuff, but it wasn't good enough. And now we have, you know, a complete different system it's locked down, but you have to have that, right?
Absolutely. Security is really important.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't believe what companies are telling you about that. You know, some of these big companies, oh, it's all two factor. Oh, it's rubbish. Mm-hmm. People can hack it. So yeah, that was a worry. Okay. So what do you do from a mindset perspective? Like what's your, you know, obviously, do you read books? Are you reading, listening to podcasts? What do you do to keep your mind kind of going? And how do you keep up with trends as well?
Yeah. So mindset's definitely something that you helped me with a lot as well.
Mm.
I definitely felt pretty busy. I remember coming to you one time and you'd say, tell me about your day. And then you said, I can give you 2 hours back in a day. And I went, okay.
This is a great tip, by the way. Listen to this.
5 a.m. to 7 a.m.
Yes. Look, at the time, you were a bit frazzled about what you were doing. And you have, you know, you're a working mum and your kids have demands. And any parent will know this. Like, as soon as the kids are up, like that's game over, right?
Yes.
So you were looking and at the end of the day, you don't want to be working all hours. And also you got to have at the end of the day, you've got to have your children time, right? It's more important things in life, right? So what was the advice I gave you?
Get up at 5 a.m. and work.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't say work till 7 a.m. But it was around mindset, you know, exercise, healthy mind, that kind of thing.
Own the morning, own the day.
Do get up at 5:30 a.m.
Yep.
But I do work.
Yeah. Well, and look, that's a time that that's your time, right? And I think if you did get up at 5 and had 30 minutes for yourself before you started doing work for clients, you'd go even better. But I think we talked about how to gamify getting up too. It was like setting your alarm and then setting it the next day and a minute earlier. And
I have done it in 15 minutes.
Yeah, over a period of time.
And it gets easier.
The thing I remember you coming back saying you did it and how much more you were getting done.
Yes.
And that was the purpose of it, right? Because, you know, end of the day, if you get up earlier, it's time that you're uninterrupted. Yeah. And you're only sleeping anyway.
Yeah.
Go to bed earlier and you're up.
Yes. Yes. And then absolutely mindset. Everything is mindset for me. Thinking about things in a different light, thinking things positively. Had some pretty rough personal years. My little mantra was better is better, because every step that you take, everything that you try and do is something more than you hadn't done.
Mm.
And then being able to be appreciative of the fact that you did that.
Yeah.
How
good.
Yeah. But now, yeah, just a positive mindset. I've got a really great team. Like, Liv is amazing. And we're bringing on a new person at the moment, but she is amazing.
You get the people to you too, by the way. Like, you put good energy out there, you get good people coming back, right?
Yeah. So we have a really fun environment. We talk a lot. We have great communication. If we get a bit busy, then we'll talk through, you know, how we can help each other. And I think having a really good team is really important to having a good business, because when you've got a great team and you look after them, then they want to be there and then they want to look after the customers, and it's just a winning formula.
That is one of the answers to running a good business, is having good people. You know, if you look after your people, they will do the looking after your customers, you know. And the cool thing is you start to see those customers really enjoying the interaction with your people. And I think that's some of the coolest things for me. I was just saying to the team this morning, like, we're doing so many really cool projects, but the team are out there doing them, and the customers, the feedback that we're getting is they really love dealing with the team, you know. And, you know, we've implemented something this week where we go for morning tea with customers, and it's such a cool thing, you know, like the team meet all their team, you know, and it's all about people at the end of the day. So,
So people first is our main value.
Yeah, cool. People first. I love it. People first, core value. So good. Okay. So where do you see the digital space going? There's a lot of talk about AI. There's a lot of things going on in that space. Where do you see digital marketing going for business owners?
Yeah. I mean, I think AI is an unstoppable, really exciting thing. One of the main reasons I've loved being in digital space is that it's always changing.
And
if I think back 1 year or 2 years or 5 years or 20 years, the change is phenomenal. So don't be afraid of it. It's coming. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's going to be hiccups. There's going to be bits that are hard and we don't like, but embrace it. But don't, like, I see blog posts and I know that they've written them on ChatGPT. Use it as a tool, but don't rely on it. I think human interaction is always going to be really important. But being able to use AI to make your day more efficient, to think outside what, you know, you might be able to think of. There's so many amazing ways to use AI. I know I went to one of your seminars and you were talking about how your team had been using it, and there's just so many amazing applications that you can use it in so many different ways. You know, even in the marketing space around, you know, your Google ads and Facebook ads and things, there is AI learning in there that you can utilize to help run them better. But also a lot of human learning is what's gonna make sure the results.
Yeah. I think it's a combination, AI and humans. It's that human intelligence and AI intelligence creates that super intelligence. Yeah. And I think you still have to know, and we were talking about this morning with one of my team members. I had coffee with team members and just talking about some of the stuff that they wanted to learn. And Sarah was wanting to do a creative course, and she was wanting to get some more structures around some stuff. And it's really cool to hear, because we have AI that can do a bunch of stuff, and there's some really good softwares in that. But unless you understand the fundamentals yourself and are looking to push design from your own perspective, you can't just expect AI to do it all, right? Because, you know, while I say shit in, shit out, you know, and that's what I've seen a lot with AI. If you put bad things in, or, you know, or you're not as clear in your directions, some of it's just a waste of time, right? So I think there's definitely that synergy together is where it sits. And I think, look, digital, the opportunity for digital will get more and more competitive, because but it also, you know, we'll have more opportunities for businesses as well because of the technology too, right? And I think that's a game changer. You'll start to see different areas of advertising open up where they're not even here yet, you know. So that's exciting for business owners too.
Saw something a while ago about how some of the TVs in the malls have recognition software and change the ad based on the audience that are looking at the TV. That's quite interesting.
And look, they're starting to use that in supermarkets and all that sort of stuff now too, right? And I think the more the machine learns about stuff, and you have to learn with it. Like, you have to be on the forefront of that. And that's what I say to, you know, to the team. We've got to be constantly learning about that sort of stuff and being on the edge, so we can actually be in front of it for our clients. You know, they're busy doing the whacking and cracking of what they're doing. You know, it's our job to understand that. What about from a marketing perspective, where do you see, you know, the likes of websites? Will a website become irrelevant, you know, that type of stuff? Or
I don't think so. I think websites are always going to have their place, but it might change from what we know today. I mean, there's been a lot of things that they've tried to sort of bring in and have died along the way, because I think having, it's kind of like having your own shop, because it's a place where it's your own, it's your unique, you make it who, you know, everything that you want to show and give to people.
So true.
So I don't know that there's going to be a one size fits all kind of solution to that.
Yeah.
But it may, you know, if we come back in 10 years, we may have quite a conversation.
Completely different. There's no internet. It's kind of interesting though, like when you look at the advancement of the internet. I remember back in the day when it was dial up, you know, and the mum had to get off the phone so I could use the internet, and then like it was, you know, completely different to what it is today. Like the explosion of mobile technology.
Yeah, I remember DOS was my first thing I coded.
True, right? And like so you know, I think if anything, I always talk to business owners about this, and you probably do too. Whatever you're doing, look through the lens of a mobile. You know, everyone was on their mobile phone. So how do we create that interaction on the mobile phone? And I think more and more that's probably where it's going. And I think even like you're starting to see the devices coming out now, the headsets and all that sort of stuff. And you know, I think even more technology gets better and better then, where we get to a point where we can't actually distinguish from reality from that software. And look, that's technology's probably there, but it's not in there. And the hardware, as far as you know, some of the glasses and all that sort of stuff. But I think that's, you know, we actually need a mobile phone. That'll be, you know, the interesting side of things. So I think also though, you know, like we'll have a job because business owners need help with that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
And everything, you sort of, as a business owner and as a person, you grow with the changing technologies anyway. So like you'll know from back when you had your SEO company, and I know from my years of experience, you know, everything changes, but it hasn't gone away. Your SEO hasn't gone away.
No.
It's just entirely different.
Yeah. Entirely different, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, like, I know Dean's going over to a course in Australia next week for search engine optimization. And there's some fundamental things that are there, but there's some new stuff happening that really will move the needle, you know, and to be across that. But you're right. Like, come back to keyword stuffing. You could easily do that. You can put a keyword rich domain name and a couple of videos on YouTube and you were ranking, you know, the next day. Yeah. Like, it's now do that. Pretty much near impossible unless it's a really obscure niche, right? So yeah, I think times have changed. Hey, you know, this has been a great conversation. I think we've nearly gone over 50 minutes. Is there anything you'd like to say? You know, obviously, how do people get in contact with you if they want to learn more about what you do? And what's the best place for you to get in contact?
They could call me 021-557-941, or they could email me innovatedigital.nz.
Innovate Digital. So we're going to put all the details there and the links in the show notes. And also what sort of clients do you like working with? What sort of?
Yeah, love working with business owners and managers who appreciate the internet and the digital marketing space and understand that they can really grow their business, but they have to invest in their business in order for that to happen. And I guess one of the things that I've noticed over time is making sure that you've got trust in whoever you do hire and ask the right questions, so that your goals and visions align. And then you know that they're going to get what you're trying to achieve. They understand your vision and they're going to make it happen. So
I think that's some really sage advice. Goals and visions align, because if they don't align, you know, like then there's always going to be friction there, right?
Yeah.
So you got to work with someone, you know, that they've got your back and you're in safe hands. Yeah. And as a provider, you want someone who's invested in it, right? And they're not only financially, but, you know, they actually want to give you the feedback. They want to help you as well, right?
Yeah, because they're going to give over quite a lot of their money. So, you know, that you want them to understand that you're going to do the best for them with that money wherever it's going to be. And sometimes it's not what they think. Sometimes, you know, people think they want Facebook ads, but if that's not where their audience is, they're trying to get, then sometimes it's better used somewhere else.
Yeah. And it's your job as the expert and as the consultant and the advisor to tell them that, right? Yeah. And sometimes you have to have those tough conversations. But at the same time, you've got to be prepared to test and measure as well,
absolutely,
right? Because, hey, you know, maybe the market is there. Let's test it first.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. And I think the more you can have those conversations, the better outcome for everyone. And I think that's you've grown your business and you've been in this game a long time. You kind of know some of those, the things that people need help with now, which is really cool. And that's why you're starting to grow, and that's why you're starting to, you know, starting to employ more people, is because you care, but also that you you're dealing with the right people. And yep. I think that's been a game changer for your business, right?
Absolutely. Definitely having the right customers that align with your own business.
Yeah. Yeah. And you learn over time that who those right customers are too.
Yeah.
And then how to not deal with the other people.
Yeah.
Because there's other people to deal with those other people, as yeah. I told you before.
Yes.
Hey, Anna, this has been a great conversation. Any last thing you'd like to go through before we finish off? But I think we've covered off some really cool things, and I just think, it's been a great chat.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Thank you very much for having me on.
Awesome. Hey, guys and girls, appreciate you listening to the Marketing Business Podcast. As always, one thing I'd love you to do is that share this episode. You know, if you want, the way we can grow this community is just by sharing the podcast and having more people come in and download and listen to it. We've been getting some great feedback as always, and really appreciate everyone, the feedback. And it's really cool to meet people coming in and doing, high performance reviews that have listened to the podcast. So we love that. And we just love adding to and value to the community. As always, make sure you have fun and take action. Hi, Scott Wilson here again. Hey, thanks for listening to the Marketing for Business podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen, and we hope that you learned a lot from today's episode. If you could be so kind as to rate and share the podcast with your other business friends and colleagues, that'd be awesome. And if you'd like to listen to more episodes, why don't you head over to our website, www.getdigitalinfluence.com. We've got a whole bunch of other amazing interviews with business owners. Thanks for your time, and have a great day.